I want to talk to you a little bit about praise and thanksgiving. Praise and thanksgiving. It says in Psalm 150, verse 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Amen. Then in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, I think Dan brought that up in the opening today, it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Praise and thanksgiving. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you today, Lord God, for what we witnessed earlier today, Father, about the baptism. What a joy it is, Father, to be able to identify with you through the waters of baptism. And Lord God, as we just speak these statements, Father, Lord God, help us understand more and more about you, Father, and to be able to enjoy just your presence. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Since we have an introduction, in World War II, there were PT boats that contributed to the war effort. Now, these PT boats were very small. They were sort of what they called the motor torpedo boats. That's why they were called PT boats. They were for the patrol torpedoes. They were just small little boats. And they said, basically, it says a small, fast vessel used by the United States Navy to attack large surface ships. The PT squadrons were nicknamed the Mosquito Fleet. How many of us have had that thing with mosquitoes around there in the summertime, whatever? No matter how much we try to kill those mosquitoes, they're always there. So they were basically, they were a pest to the enemy. They were a pest to the enemy, these PT boats. And one of the most famous PT boats was PT-109, which was captained by John F. Kennedy, our future president. And in the early 60s, there's a movie made by about PT-109. If you haven't seen that movie, go see it. It's a great movie. But it was cut in two. The PT boat was cut in two by a Japanese destroyer. It was dark, it was foggy out, whatever. Before they knew it, this boat was cut in two, and the story goes on to show about how John Kennedy was able to save the lives of a number of his men and basically injured his back, which would then become a debilitating injury throughout the rest of his life, but is able to go to and swim to shore and stuff like that and rescue some people, and is able then to land on a coconut about going to the natives or whatever, and this coconut remained on his desk after he became president. But also, one of my favorite PT boats was led by Commander McHale in McHale's Navy. It's a great show. You guys are too young for that. But they were always able to destroy the enemy ships. But I want to spend a few minutes talking about the spiritual PT, praise and thanksgiving. Just as these PT boats helped bring about victory in World War II, and they were very much an important part of the force, but PT boats can also refer to physical training. Physical training. This is a discipline each of us needs to adopt in order to have that physical training in each one of our lives. It refers to hard work and commitment just to succeed. This is things that have to happen in our life. But I also believe that this praise and thanksgiving is not only just part of our physical training, but it also helps give us victories in many areas of our life, seen and unseen. Praise and thanksgiving. We should think about that. For my desire is for us to be a pest to the enemy. I want to be a pest to the enemy. His desire is to destroy us as much as it was for the Germans and the Japanese to destroy the United States. Satan's desire is he wants to destroy each one of us today. We've had a great service today. But I guarantee you, when you walk out of this sermon, out of this service today, there's going to be something that's going to happen on the outside. It's going to be Satan saying, you know what? I'm ready to destroy you. I'm going to be a little mosquito there that's going to be a pest to you. But I want to be a pest to Satan. Because PT boats were not the ones always on the defensive, but they were the aggressor. They were the aggressor. They were going out to sink the ship. We need to go on the offensive and not be defensive through our spiritual PT, through our praise and thanksgiving. We need to be aggressors today before God. God says that forceful men take hold of the kingdom of God. We need to be not so much defensive. We need to be aggressive in the way we go before the Satan himself. So step one, we need to realize that we are alive. Amen? Amen. We're alive today, right? I don't see anybody dying here. You might die after my sermon, but after that, nobody's dying right now. It says that let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
To me, that's a very simple statement. If you're breathing, you need to be praising the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
However, there are many times when the enemy wants to suck the life out of you. He wants to take the breath away from you. How many of you, when you were a child, or maybe have had the wind knocked out of you? In terms of maybe somebody at football, somebody pitched you or something like that, you've had the wind knocked out, and all of a sudden, I'm going to get free. The wind just knocked out of you. That's what Satan does many times in our life. We say we're going along well, and all of a sudden he just wants to hit right in the stomach and knock the breath out of us. And you can't, and then that life is just sucked out of you. You cannot praise God. You cannot praise God because there's just something happening. All the stuff's happening to me. Everything's happening to me. I just can't praise the Lord. I just can't praise the Lord. You know, the Lord understands that. I understand that. We cannot manufacture life. We cannot say, okay, life comes. And Jesus Christ knows that. That's why the Lord gave us life. It says in John 10:10, it says, I give you life, a more abundant life. John 11:12-25 says, Jesus said to her, saying to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. You know, just like the ones who are baptized today. When Dan put them down in the water, there had to be an assurance they were coming back up. Amen? I'm sure there was some fright there. When they go under the water, they might be brought back up. But they also identified with the burial. When they went down the water, they were buried. Their sins were buried. Their old life was buried. And when they came back up, they were resurrected. And there's a joy there. They were clean. So many of us today need to have our lives resurrected. We need to understand that we are created for God's purposes. We are no longer to the point of needing to die. We have breath within us. And each one of us needs to understand that we are, as we have breath today, we need to be praising God and understanding that. We need to be resurrected today. We need to be rejuvenated today. We need to be energized today. Because God wants to have that happen. Let's look at a few verses here. Psalm 13:6 says, I will sing the Lord's praises. Now, I'm not going to sing. The Lord, as Sue says sometimes, the Lord, when I sing, the angels translate, so it becomes beautiful music unto them, unto the Lord. But praise the Lord! We sing. We enjoy time. We have a great time. It says, I will sing the Lord's praises, for He has been good to me. Has the Lord been good to you today? Has He? How has He been good to you today? You woke up, didn't you? Right, you had a good night's sleep, right? And how many of you are complaining if you're at Thanksgiving dinner? How many of you are complaining after the Thanksgiving dinner, I had too much to eat? And the Lord's been good to you. We need to praise God for that. Think of the good things that God gives you. Think of the good things. Look at your wife. Look at your husband. Look at the peace of your relatives, your family. Are they good things in your life?
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Hello? Are they good things in your life? Are your kids good to you? Kids, are your parents good to you? Amen. The Lord is good to you. You know, Johnny Appleseed has said, the Lord has been good to me. And how's it go again? That's good. She knows that. I don't. Everything's good. Okay. Let's look at Psalm 16:7. It says, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. How many times have you gone to bed at night, you've got a problem in your head, you take it to the Lord at night, and in the morning you have the answer? You ever thought about that?
You come, you wake up, oh, I know what to do. I know what to do. The Lord counsels us. Praise God. He's not there to confuse us. The enemy is going to be the one that's confusing us. He wants to do everything he can to confuse us. But the Lord wants to instruct us and give us the right answers. Psalm 18:49 says, therefore I will praise you among the nations. We've got the nations represented right here. We're coming to praise God among the nations. I will sing praises of your name. The one thing about the church of Sardis that we talked about in Revelation, they were so concerned about Sardis about being their name, their church. The church of Sardis. We're singing praises of your name, Jesus Christ. Our songs today are not ones to bring us glory. Amen? The songs of Tim, Devroy, and Linda, and those people who pick it out, and the Holy Spirit uses them to pick out these songs, they're not to bring us glory. They're not to bring lift up Northgate Community Church. But to hear those songs, to hear to lift up Jesus, to sing the praises of Jesus. Because when Jesus is praised, we get hope, we get love, we get joy in our spirit. There's a peace that goes on. As we speak the name of Christ, we are healed. We are healed spiritually, we are healed emotionally, we're also healed physically. We lift up the name of Jesus, the praises of Jesus. Become that. I will sing praise of your name. Those people that are struggling right now because they're believing God is not there. Let me read this one verse here. It says Psalm 28:6. It says, praise be to the Lord. All these songs are saying about praise. Praise be to the Lord. There's an act that needs to be done. Praise be to the Lord. We need to praise God. He says, for he has heard my cry for mercy. God hears you. Now let me explain something to you right now. God doesn't hear you when you yell all the time. God hears the still, small voice. For that, your still, small voice is still a cry. It's still a cry. A mother hears a child cry when sometimes the quietest. They hear the cry among all the others. The Lord hears the cry of mercy. And as a mother, as a child, he knows that the mother loves that child because they heard her cry, heard their cry. So the Lord knows. And we need to praise God for that. Because God does not turn his ear away from any of us. God hears us. God is not deaf at all. God does not ignore us. We're all crying for mercy. But you know what? God hears each one of us individually. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And last one here in Psalm and praise. It says Psalm 41:13. Says, praise to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. Amen. We need to understand that the Lord is forever. Amen. The Lord will never go away. Jesus Christ is forever. He is the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's the same tomorrow. Satan's role is going to end. Satan is defeated already. Amen. He was defeated on the cross. He will continue to be defeated. Amen. He will not resurrect. Amen. He is dead to the world right now. He is dead right now. Amen. And Jesus Christ is alive.
Hallelujah.
And we need to just keep praising that and understanding that Satan is defeated today. That's part of our PT. That's part of our praise. The next thing of that is thanksgiving. We need to give thanks to God. We need to give thanks to God. All circumstances, we need to give thanks. If we truly believe the Lord is in command of our lives, the Bible says he orders our steps. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. How many of you today have committed yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ? How many of you allowed him to order your plans? If we commit our plans to God and give him total control, should we not only praise him and thank him for the outcome? Oh, now I'm stepping on some toes here, probably. because the outcome's not what we wanted. Lord, I commit this thing to you, but I've got this certain direction I want you to do it in. Anybody had that problem sometimes?
Well, we need to thank God because He has total control of our lives. He has a total purpose in our lives. You know, if we continually praise and thank Him for that, because you know what? The enemy wants to do everything he can to manipulate the plan of God. But if we thank God for whatever the outcome is, that's going to be the enemy's fist. The enemy is going to be so disheartened. Do we question what the Lord is doing and what He's given us? The Lord, the enemy, wants to confuse us and not be grateful. He wants to be spiritual cowards. How many of you count because you don't get your way? Recently I had a birthday. I'm not caught up with Sue in age. But she says, but so much younger, it's just not fair. But I take heart. In a verse in Proverbs 16:31, gray hair is a crown of splendor.
Hallelujah.
It is attained by the way of righteousness. I feel very good about that. Amen. I thank God for that. I praise God for that. I'm not worried about coloring my hair. I've got the gray hair of splendor, the crown of splendor there.
Amen.
Amen. Anyway. She's going to me and says, I'll talk to you later. Anyway, I was blessed by being with family last week and receiving some gifts from my family. And I was very grateful. Very grateful. I had to really think about the Lord. I even received tickets from Tim and his fiance Jamie to the Redskins game against the Eagles last Monday. And it's at the nosebleed section, way out there, and we walked from the parking lot way out there, and the rain was coming, and the Redskins were getting destroyed. I was truly grateful and thankful. Jamie kept apologizing because he's an Eagles fan. We're still working on that process of the family. No. I said it was okay, and I was grateful to be with her, Tim, and her father. In fact, her father said this is the third game that he's ever been to. It was a great time to bond with them, but it certainly was painful. It certainly, I was soaked. We left about the third, halfway through the third quarter. Again, it's Monday Night Football. I came home, I'm just drenched, I'm soaked to the bone, and I had 4 hours sleep that night to go to work, so. But it was a good time to be with them. It was a good time to be with them, even though the Redskins got destroyed. Anyway, praise God. Thank the Lord. Ephesians 1:3 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We spend time thanking God for the spiritual blessings He's given each one of you. Have you ever thought about what the spiritual blessing that God has given you? I'm not going to enumerate them because you've got to go before God and say, God, what have you given me to really understand me, to understand what's going, the blessing that you've given me? He's given us every spiritual blessing in Christ. But each one of us has a different one that God's revealing at a certain time. How grateful are you? One of the joys of an individual is that when they give a gift to someone, is to see the joy in their face as they appreciate it and are grateful. Have you ever had that happen? I love it when I give Sue something for Christmas, whatever, that she doesn't return later on. But I love it when she keeps it for a little while. I mean, I had a thing where I kept giving her coats. For 4 years it took me to get the white coat to give her that she wouldn't return it. I said, praise God, I finally got it. So, it's like the Lord. Imagine the joy on our Father's face when we thank Him with all the spiritual blessings He's given us. Instead of being spiritual complainers, we become spiritual
gratefulness. We become grateful for what God has given us. Because when we have that gratefulness in our heart, and we become so excited about what God's given us, this is how that translates among people around us. Think what our spirit will be like. If we are grateful for what God has given us, and we praise God, and we thank God, think of how it'll be as we come in contact with somebody else. No matter what they might do to us, we got God in heaven who has given us everything that we can ever imagine. And we can thank Him and praise Him. It says a couple of verses here. Let me finish up here. First Chronicles 16:24 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever." It doesn't end. It doesn't end. Psalm 104 says, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise."
Amen.
Give thanks to Him and praise His name. Psalm 118:21 says, "I will give thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation." It's not our salvation. You have become my salvation. You know, today we're all concerned about stress in our lives. We're running here. We're running there. We've got things happening in our lives. Things are happening. Bah, 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 bah. Thanksgiving's going to come. I said, well, I got the turkey done. I got the dressing done. I got all this stuff done. And I have no idea what I'm doing. Because I'm there to participate. Well, I'm grateful of that. But we fail to understand that God is in control. We try to take control of our lives, and we make a mess of it. But we allow God to be in control of our life, stress just goes away. We praise God for the circumstance that we're in. We thank God for the circumstance that we're in. A lot of the stress is because we fail to trust God. We fail to trust God. And are concerned about this or that is going to affect me. We've allowed the enemy to be the aggressor, and we're on the defensive.
Pretty good option lesson. I like golf.
You might think that.
But there's something about putting, that you've got to trust God in many different things. And it was very instinctive yesterday. Advanced and I played golf.
Yesterday, it was kind of a neat deal. We played golf, and everyone had to give a turkey in order to be part of that. So much of turkey is getting turkey.
But it's like putting. And Advanced said, okay, he was there at the hole there, and the guy had him. He says, "Now putt right here."
I mean, I remember it's a long putt, probably about to where Sean and Mindy are right now, about 20-foot putt. And I'm putting here, but the holes are where Vance is at. And you're saying, well, why should I putt there? Because you've got to trust the line. You've got to trust the line to right now. And you got to trust the speed. It's like anything we have with God. You got to trust. God says, okay, you know what, God? I want to do this. And I know how the direction is going to be. If I go a straight line, if I went straight line to Vance, that ball would be over there. Looks like with God, you need to trust Him and how He's directing us. Vance was just, in this respect, in golf, He was God. He was telling me which way to go. So I would cut the ball, and it's all speed. It all becomes speed. You can't run too fast, you can't run too slow. If I went too fast, I would miss the line. I would miss the line and wouldn't go on the hole. So the guy before me, young guy, next guy, he went before me and he just missed it because his speed was just so much too hard. So I get up there behind him and I hit it. Put it in the right line, his speed's perfect, breaks right into the hole. Breaks right into the hole. That's not a bad block. I would. But also some would say it's skill, and I would too. Say it's both. Because you've got to trust the line. It's like we need to trust God with certain situations in our life. If we go too fast and run ahead of what God has in store for us, we miss what He's saying. If we run too slow, we don't get to the point where God wants to challenge us and to move us. Because the one thing about putting is you've got to get it to the hole. If you hit it too short, You're not ever going to make the pot. It's never going to go in.
So we need to understand, we need to trust God. We need to understand today that on the cross, on Calvary, Jesus Christ became the aggressor. And if we're identified with Christ, we need to become the aggressor today. Jesus Christ became that aggressor in defeat of the enemy. He has been defeated. So our attitude should be that of one of praise and thanksgiving. The spiritual PT of our life. As the PT boat for the aggressor in World War II and defeated the enemy ships, so we too need to be the PT boats, if you will, and defeat the enemy today. For I firmly believe if we incorporate every day praise and thanksgiving in our daily walk, we will be less stressful, and we will enjoy life. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we just thank you today, Lord God, that you are in control, Father. We thank you today, Father, even for the baptism, Lord God. But there had to be identification. They may have to be the aggressor, Father, Lord God. They're going to say, you know, no matter how much it might embarrass me to get wet, they would be aggressor because of Jesus Christ. They were not concerned about what others might think, but they were being the aggressor to be the one who would vocalize their testimony of Jesus Christ in their life. And Father, we thank you today, Father, that you are the one, Lord God, who defeated the enemy in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen.
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 Amen.